2 Samuel chapter number 21, we'll be looking today, and of course you've already seen the screen, Rizpah. Can anybody tell me, well, I should have not told you the reference, well, it's up there too. You're already probably reading ahead trying to find it, but how many of you knew who Rizpah was before you got here this morning? That's what I thought. I'll be honest with you, when I read it, I had to think about it because I hadn't seen it. Oftentimes, I always want to preach a Mother's Day message, and I preached Mother's Day message on about every mother I could find in the Bible. And finally, I found another one, and she's very obscure. There's not a lot said about her. In fact, there's more said about her husband and her son than there is her. But I believe from her husband and her son, we can learn some things about her that I hope will be a help and a blessing to you. It was Abraham Lincoln, I believe, who said that behind every great man is a great mother. Lincoln said his life was helped and shaped by the life of his mother. Even though his mother died at 9 years of age, when he was 9 years old, he said his mother Nancy was instilling in him the various qualities and made him the man that he became, and he gave much credit to his mother. A good mother is a blessing, and it's a great value. And I tell you today, if you've got a mother that's a godly mother, you've got something to be thankful for. And you ought to rejoice that if your mother's still living, you still have the opportunity to tell her how much you love her. But here's what Solomon said in Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 28. He said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and praiseth her." In an article in the Detroit Press, cited a monetary value of a mother's services. It said in the listed duties that she performed, it said she was chauffeur, gardener, family counselor, maintenance worker, cleaning woman, housekeeper, cook, errand runner, bookkeeper, budget manager, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, public relations person, and hostess. Now that's quite an impressive list. And here's what he figured. He figured the dollar value of somebody that did all that job would be about $915.07 a week, or $47,583.64 a year. The only problem with that survey was done in 07. So you could probably up that a great deal more, but many mother works for a whole lot less. Well, they work many for nothing. I won't say nothing because I know the husband provides for them. But what a blessing it is to have a mother that you can look up to and can impact and influence your life. We know about Mary. We know about Elizabeth and Rachel and Rebecca and Hannah and Ruth and Naomi. But our text today speaks of a mother who should be studied. And I believe when you see what we find today, I hope it be encouragement to you. And her name was Rizpah. And we're going to get to know her today in some ways that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. If you have your Bibles, I want you to follow along. I'm going to begin by reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for the bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" Now what had happened, the famine had come in the land of Israel. And here we find in verse 1, David is inquiring of the Lord why this famine is upon them. And here's what the Lord said to David. He said the reason for that is because the actions of Saul toward the Gibeonites was the cause of the famine. Now Israel had made a covenant with the Gibeonites back in Joshua chapter number 9. The Gibeonites tricked the Israelites into making an oath or taking an oath that guaranteed their safety for the rest of their life. Although we don't find it recorded in the Word of God, we do know, according to verse 1, that Saul broke that covenant and he killed some of the Gibeonites. And so because of Saul's action, God was punishing Israel with a famine in the land. Now we move on, and here's David inquiring and saying, why is it that we have famine in the land? Why is this happening? And of course the Lord had answered and said, "It's for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And he said, basically then, what can we do? What can we do in order that we might make that right? And begin reading verse number 2, "And the king called unto the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but were of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make an atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What shall ye say? That will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel." Now listen to this. He said, "Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up until the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." So basically what we find here is there's been an atrocious act that has gone against them, and God's punishing Israel for it. David wants to get it worked out. They're tired of the famine. They need help. He goes to the Gibeonites, said, "What is it we need to do?" And they said, "We'll take seven sons of Saul, we'll hang them, and that'll justify it." And, of course, David said, "Well, that's fine. I'll deliver them to you." But then look, if you would, at verse 7 through 9. "But the king spared Mephibosheth." If you'll remember, Mephibosheth was the crippled boy, the son of Jonathan. He had been dropped on his head when he was young, and he was crippled, and now he was abiding in the king's house. But he said he spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that he had between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah. Now, there's not much said here about Rizpah, but again, the king took two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. Verse 10 is probably one of the saddest verses that you'll ever read in the Bible. This is not something somebody might say today. This is not a good encouraging Mother's Day present or message, but I think it will be when we finish. Verse 10, "And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth, spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the fields by night." Did you get that? Her sons were hanging, and she went out and made a bed on a rock, and she stayed there from the beginning of the harvest until the rain fell, which was several months, by the way, and she beat away the vultures that would come and destroy the dead bodies of her sons. I think today Rizpah demonstrates a good mother that loved her children. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do pray now that you would guide and direct. Give me wisdom, strength, and help. And Lord, today I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. My, what a passage of scripture. Lord, one that we don't know much about. And Rizpah, most people don't even know that name. But yet today we find buried in the scripture, Lord, her name, and we find a couple of verses about her. And what we know about her is, Lord, I believe that she was a dedicated mother to her sons, even in their death. Lord, we ask now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way, and we'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, to be a widow in that time mean that she would probably be, of course, being childless. She would maybe be poor and maybe not have the means that she needed in order to get by. And she was in a difficult position. But rather than mourn or feel sorry for herself, she's more dedicated to her children than she is anything in the world. Now, the custom was in that day when a person was hanged that they be taken down before dark and buried. However, in this case, the Bible says over in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 and 23, in this passage of Scripture, it talks about that those that are hanged are accursed of God. So when the Gibeonites hung the seven sons of Saul, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but when he hung them, they did not take them down as the normal custom would be. And again, Rizpah could do nothing to save them, and she was determined to do what little she could to save them from ultimate disgrace and dishonor. And I think today how that many times we may look at it in some ways, but here's a mother whose love never gave up on her children, even in death. And she was determined to give them some type of dignity and give them something that would not be shame and reproach upon them as well as upon her as a mother. You know, I'm grateful today that this message is far brighter than the story that we just told because of the horror and the sorrow that's painted in these verses. But I believe what we find here today is not so much dwelling upon the sorrow and the horror of the action, but it's the dedication and the love of a mother that loved her children. She kept watch over the bodies of her sons. She watched while the scorching sun every day beat down upon her. She watched through the night. She stayed there through all kinds of weather. Nothing deterred Rizpah from her purpose. She was determined that her sons have a proper burial. And until they were taken down, she was going to guard them and do what was necessary to protect them until that day came. The fact of it is today might not be that a mother does not mean that many mothers today perhaps are not as in tune today as she was. But you see, there's something here for mothers and fathers and children, and whether you're a mother or not today, there's some things that we can learn from this, and it ought to be just the very fact of our love for our families. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is the lesson in her priorities. She loved them with such devotion that even though they were dead, and even though they were an example, they were up there on there, it's an example for you and I to understand just how much deeply she loved her children. Her children were the number one priority of her life. The Bible said children are a heritage of the Lord. We ought to thank God for our children that comes our way. But Rizpah, she demonstrated more than any mother that I've ever found, more of a dedication than any of them that we read about, because she was willing to stay with them, even in their shame, for the long months that they hung there. She was going to be there to protect them. Though her boys, by the way, were not little boys, they were grown men by now. Though their bodies were left hanging as a sign of contempt and condemnation, she still loved them. This is the way it is with love. When someone, distance is no barrier and time is no deterrent. Even death cannot dampen the flame of losing a child. And I can speak from experience with that. And I can say today we're grateful today for the opportunity, but families ought to be grateful for their family, and we ought to be thankful for our children, and we ought to love them with an unending and undying love to protect them in every way we can. One day a census worker came by a house, and she asked the lady, she said, "How many children do you have?" The mother began to name them. She said, "Well, there's Willie, Susie, Johnny, Gracie, Billy, Bonnie," and the census taker stopped her and said, "I'm not interested in names, I just want numbers." She said, "My children don't have numbers, they have names." And I tell you today, we ought to understand today how much we love our children. To that mother, her children weren't just numbers. They were people with a name, and so was it with Rizpah. I'm telling you, she loved her children greatly. They were important to her. In the latter part of verse 10, notice what it said. It tells us that the mother did while she watched the bodies of her son. Look at the latter part there. "And suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night." She beat away the buzzards and the birds in the daytime, and she ran off the coyotes and anything else that might come in the nighttime and destroy them. And by the way, the Gibeonites, their whole purpose was in order that they might shame Saul for what he had done. Rizpah wanted a burial for her sons. She showed her love for them by doing the best she could by keeping these animals away from her. And friend, I wonder today how many mothers are so dedicated that they would love their children even after death, that they would stay there. And no doubt, I thought about not only the vultures that was coming, but think of the decomposition that would begin to take place in the bodies of those children. But yet today, she stayed there, and she stayed there and continued to do what she needed to do. The story is told, and it's a true story, by the way, of a seminary student from Fort Worth Seminary. One day he was taking a stroll through a cemetery there in Dallas, and he saw a woman as she was kneeling by a graveside, and she was weeping uncontrollably. And so he walked over to her and he said, ma'am, are you okay? And she said, I'm okay. And they began to talk. And before it was over, she said, this is my husband, Lee Harvey Oswald. And she was crying over his grave, and she was weeping and carrying on, or maybe it was her son, I guess, more so that she was the mother of Lee Harvey Oswald. And she asked the young man this. She said, does anybody care that my son is dead? And friend, I tell you today, no one else there but that mother. But I tell you, just like Rizpah, she stayed right there demonstrating her devotion. Some mothers don't want to pay the price to be a good mother. It takes sacrifice to be a good mother. It takes sacrifice to do what's necessary to train your children up into nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them to go in the direction they need to go. It takes sometimes giving up some things that you might have to give up if you're going to put everything you have into your children to lead them to a life that would be pleasing to God. They act like they choose themselves over other things. Some parents choose comfort over their children. I've told the story many times. Years ago when we pastored in Monticello, Florida, we used to come to Thomasville on Friday and Saturday night sometime, and the dog track down there would be packed out. The parking lot would be packed out. They would not allow children in the parking lot, so people would park side the road out there. The kids would sit on the hood of the car while their parents was in there gambling. Friend, I tell you today, that's somebody that doesn't care much about their children, somebody that does not really dedicate themselves to know what's going on. They act like their needs are more important than their children's needs. I tell you today, if you bear children and bring them into the world, the Bible said a man that don't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And I tell you today, a real mother, a genuine mother, loves her kids. She'll make sure they're taken care of in every aspect, in every way that she possibly can. Turns out that many parents are more childish than their children they're trying to raise. I tell you one thing, Rizpah did not consider her personal comfort. She didn't have to have her air-conditioned home or her nice, fluffy Serta bed or whatever she may have chosen. She couldn't have chose that, of course, in that day. But she had a rock, and she had a blanket, but she had a love for children that made her stay there from the time they were hanged to the time they were taken down. Two youngsters was arguing in the kitchen one day, and the mother overheard them, and they went in. There was one cookie left. And they were fussing over it, and she said, okay, I'll solve the problem. I'll eat the cookie. Neither one of you can have it. And one little boy looked at her and says, no, you won't. I've never seen a selfish mother, or I've never seen my mother selfish or something of that nature. And she said, you're right, and she broke the cookie in half and gave it to him. You understand what I'm saying today? It's our responsibility to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's our responsibility to get our children to the house of God. It's our responsibility to get them under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God in order that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and grow up to serve God and be faithful to God. And friend, today, I don't know, but we need to get back to the basics, and we're praying about this virus, but friend, I'm telling you, when we get clear, we need to understand we need to hit the ground running because time is running out. We need to love our children like never before. Boy, her priorities were in order, wasn't it? Thank God for parents that have priorities to be in church for all services. Thank God for parents who have priorities to train their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank God for parents that teach their children to memorize Scripture. Thank God for parents that teach their children to obey God and to obey them and to obey those around about them. Yes, it takes sacrifice. But it also proves your love or lack of. There's a lesson in her priorities. There's a lesson in her presence. Rizpah was dedicated to her children. Now, friend, I don't know any of you ladies that would like to stand around where your son was hanging and beat off hyenas, and coyotes, and wolves, and anything else. In fact, Rizpah was much more braver than I would have been. You know what I mean? But she stood there and fought. The most ladies, they're scared of a mouse. If one runs across the floor, they jump up on the furniture. But she was there beating the buzzards away and said, get away from my son! Get away from my son! All day long as she protected them. Can you imagine her standing her ground against those? Well, we know about David and the bear and the lion. He slew them, but that was David. But this is Rizpah. This is a lady that has no background that we know of other than these verses, and we don't find much about her, and we don't understand much about her. But I'm telling you, I learned a lot in this one verse. I understand that she's a mother that loved her children and was dedicated to them even after death. That's what a mother does. That's what a good parent does. They'll stand up for their children and protect them when they're right, but they'll correct them when they're wrong. I've seen parents today that are willing to fight for their children. But listen to me. Sometimes they want to fight somebody that's trying to do something good for them rather than anything else in the world. I say this. If your children are right, you need to stand for them, you need to defend them, and you need to fight for them. But understand when other adults teach them something that they need to know, you need to understand it may be your child's fault, because after all, our children are sinners, you know. The Bible said, "Where behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sinned, and my mother conceived me." Somebody said, "My children never did anything wrong." Well, I tell you what mine did, and I did. And I don't believe anybody in here has not had children that didn't do wrong at some time or another. And they need to know that we're not going to take up for them when they do wrong. We're going to make them face the consequences and do whatever necessary that they may get it right. But if they're right, we're going to defend them even to the end. I heard about three camels that was walking through the mountains, and they were loaded down with all their gear. Slipped off the edge, fell to the bottom. Of course, it killed them. The men that owned them went down to the bottom, got all their gear off of them, and took them. And they said within 30 hours, there was no flesh left on the bones of those camels. Friend, I'm telling you, if it had not been for a mother who loved her sons and stood by the place where they hung and continued to beat away the vultures and all that would come up to eat her children, they would have been destroyed and been nothing but a skeleton that would have been left. I can only imagine the courage that she must have had to fight those wild animals. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, in John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Mary's son was dying. And where was she? She was right there at the foot of the cross. Some mothers would have said, "I just can't bear to watch." And I could understand that. But a real love would persevere to be there with your loved one even in this time. She was as near to him as she was allowed to go at the foot of the cross. It was dangerous for Mary to be at the cross that day. They could have took her and strung her up. But she got rid of all the fear that she had in her heart, and she didn't worry about the comfort that she might need, and she stands and watches her son Jesus die on the cross. She hears the slander, the words of hate and division. It must have broken her heart. Yet she did not leave. She stayed to the very end watching her son die. Mary remained faithful even after he died. We need mothers and fathers who are loyal to their children today. Friend, I'm afraid a lot of parents are going to have a lot of responsibility to answer for. Somebody said, you just don't understand my children. They just don't want to do right. Friend, our children will do what we teach them to do. They will become what we are. And I tell you, we better understand today, mothers, that we need to be setting an example that would be pleasing to God in every area of our life, that they may see Christ in us and desire the same Christ that we serve. Somebody said, and a lady said this, by the way, I can't vouch for this, and no man can, but a lady said the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. Doesn't mean it's easy, but the easiest part of giving birth, but the hardest part, is showing up for motherhood day by day. Every day when the sun comes up and every night when the sun comes down and up during the night doing whatever you had to do to take care of a sick child and whatever they do. Parents love you, children. It doesn't matter if your children are 6 years old or 60 years old. Love your children. Let them know they are loved. That there's nothing any more important in the world in any age than being loved unconditionally by your parents. I think a lot of kids have committed suicide because they felt like their parents hated them. Friend, today our children ought to know beyond any doubt that we love them like never before. Today is the day we honor our mothers. This is the day that we, the children of all ages, honor their mother. Somebody said this. It's right down to the nitty grime. It says, for all the spit they produced to wash dirty faces, for all the old gum they have held in their hands, for all the snotty noses they have wiped, for all the bloody knees they have made better with a kiss, for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, for driving kids to school when they missed a bus, for enduring all the football games in the rain, for making children finish something they said they couldn't do, for not believing them when they said, I hate you, for sharing their good times and their bad times. This is the day that we, for all they, that they're to be honored for all times they suffered the pain of a broken heart, yet continued to love their children in spite of everything. The cards probably won't say it, but what they're trying to say is, thank you for showing up. Thank you, Mother, for being there. I tell you today, I don't see it happen always, but I do notice one thing about some of these professional football players, and even baseball players, I guess. Quite often you'll hear them say, my mother. I know y'all all know him, and I know a whole lot about him, but we remember him from back in the day. Little Richard died this past week. Somebody said, who's Little Richard? Well, anyway, he wrote some songs back in the 60s you younger people probably wouldn't know about. But he was raised in a conservative home. And I heard a little bit of an interview on the radio the other day. I was going down the road. And he said, I wanted to get me a nice place to live. And I wanted my mother to have a nice place to live. And he said music was the only way. He went on to write many songs and perform, I guess it was gospel. Well, it wasn't gospel. It was rock back in those days. He resigned. I didn't know this, but during the midst of all that, he resigned and began pastoring a church. And, of course, he went back to it, but his songs were written. But the key to it was, Mother, I want to take care of Mother because Mother took care of me. I tell you, I think about my mother, and I appreciate my sister. She probably did more than I did as far as taking care of my mother and my daddy during the last days of their lives. I miss them both so much. I wish I could call them today and say, thank you for being there. Thank you, Mother, for never giving up on me. Thank you, Mother, for loving me. But I can't tell her, but I believe today maybe she knows. And one day I'll see her again. That's what children need today. They need children that'll love. They need parents that'll love them. They need parents that are present in present in their lives. Do you know, people, I've heard people say this, if the pandemic hadn't done anything, it's made families come back to the dinner table and the supper table and sit down together and eat together and talk together. Because most of the time we were going in all different directions. Beyond that, they need parents who know the Lord. I tell you today, it breaks my heart to know of any children that are being raised in a home of people that don't know Christ as their Savior. Friend, today, a lost person will drag their children to hell with them because they refuse to trust in God. I think how sad that is. But all we can do is pray and ask God to save them. They need parents who have been saved by the grace of God. They need parents that will pray for them and teach them about Jesus. They need parents who will live right and make God the highest priority in their lives. Children need that and deserve that more than anything. Children need parents who are present and who bring the Lord into their homes. My mother and daddy worked hard, and my daddy always worked several jobs, and he wasn't as much involved with me as maybe I was with my children, but I always knew my daddy loved me, and he was going to work whatever he had to do to provide to meet our needs. But most of all, the thing that stands out the most to me is my daddy never failed to take us to the house of God. He was Sunday school superintendent for many years, and that was not good for a young boy in Sunday school that got in trouble, because back in those days, they took you to the Sunday school superintendent. But I learned fast that my daddy loved the Lord, and he loved his family, and he wanted to teach us some things to make us continue on with the tradition. And I thank God now, not bragging, not boasting on me, but bragging on my parents and bragging on God. I've been pastoring over 40 years. God has blessed me way more than I deserve. And I thank God for loving parents. Then lastly, there's a lesson in perseverance. You think, hearing this story, you think perseverance? I think. How long did she guard the bodies of her son? Was it a couple of days and nights? No, the text said she stayed with the bodies of her son from the beginning of harvest until the water dropped upon them out of the heavens. The barley harvest would have taken place early in spring. Spring would have been followed by the drought of the summer months. The rains would come around October. And when the rains comes, it was indicated that the curse of God had been lifted and the bodies of the executed men had been taken down. And all those months, Rizpah braved the heat, the dark, the loneliness, the wild animals that wanted to feed on the bodies of her two sons. She could not give up. She refused to quit. The brokenhearted mother endured whatever came her way till her sons could be taken down from hanging in shame before those people. Never heard of Rizpah, but boy, what a mother that loved her sons. He said, well, reckon what she ate then. I don't know, maybe she killed some of them animals that come. I don't know. But I tell you what, God had a way of taking care of her needs, I promise you, because she was taking care of the needs of her family. The difference between perseverance and stubbornness is that perseverance comes from a strong will, and the second comes from a strong want. For months, Rizpah fought off the animals that devoured her sons. My, what a challenge that is. But just today, thinking with me, parents, how much time are you willing to spend with your children to mold their lives? Never a sadder word has been spoken than my mother don't have time for me. My daddy don't have time for me. Friend, you better understand today we're to be dedicated to God in every area of our lives. But I'm going to tell you something. We better give what we have to our children while we can to teach them the things that they need to know, encourage them to be faithful in all they could do. She couldn't change the situation, but she could stay there till they come down and give them a decent burial. And I tell you another thing. Think of all the people in those months that passed by and saw the dedication of a mother. I don't know, but I would think maybe there's some mothers that said, boy, I want to be like that mother. I want to love my children like she loved her children. They're dead. They're gone. They're of no value. You can't do anything with them now. No, you can't. But you can love them still because of who they are. Verse 10, and Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth, spread it upon the rock from the beginning of harvest to water dropped upon all the heavens, and suffered neither the birds of the air or to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the fields by night. What a heart-wrenching glimpse of a mother that loved her children. Can I tell you something today? Your children might not be where you want them to be today. In fact, I'd venture to say there's a lot of children that probably are not where their parents want them to be. But I'm going to tell you something. They're still your child, and you're still going to love them, and you're still going to take care of them, and you're still going to pray for them, and you're going to trust God that He'll do something in their life to bring them back to what they were raised on or what they were taught or what they were given to do. Never, never, never give up, friend. As long as they have breath in their body, they have the ability to return back to Christ. They might be far away from the Lord. They may be living in sin. They might be doing things that you don't approve of. The final results are not in. I tell you, Rizpah, she proved that by staying for months, persevering. Parents don't give up hope. Rizpah persevered in the face of difficulties. She persevered in the face of danger. A woman by herself, she stood to be subject to most anything. Somebody probably came by and said, go home, Rizpah. You're tired. You're sacrificing your life for no reason at all. They're gone. But I imagine she would have said this: "How dare you tell me to go home? I'm a mother, and I may be tired, but I cared for those boys when they were upon my breast in infancy, and I'm not going to forsake them now, even though they're dead. I'm going to stay by them. I'm not going to let the buzzards perch on their head." She would chase them away. Her love cost her something, but it is expensive to be effective. The story is told of a young man that was locked up and he was placed in prison. He pleaded not guilty. They found him guilty. They locked him away for many years. After a period of time, he came to know the Lord, and he wrote his mother. He said, "Mother, I have a confession to make." He said, I really hate to tell you this, but I feel like I've got to. I've got to be honest. He said, "Even though I pleaded not guilty," he said, "I was guilty of the crime that they charged me with." His mother immediately wrote him back, and she said, "Son, that don't make no difference to me. You're my son, and I still love you." My today, what an illustration. What an example of a mother that we knew little about. A mother that you don't find a lot written about. But brother, she was some kind of mother. She was a tough cookie. I tell you, she stayed by the stuff, even till she put her boys in the ground and gave them the proper burial that they deserved. Hadn't said much about salvation today, been just preaching to mothers. But friend, today I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Because I remember a day when I was dead. I remember a day when the things of the buzzards of the world was eating away at me. I remember when the hyenas and the wolves and all was coming up and trying to tear me apart. But my Heavenly Father stayed by me, and He watched over me, and He protected me until I was made alive and became a child of God. And by the way, He still watches over me, for which I'm grateful. Mothers, thank God for you. But could you say today that you have the tenacity that Rizpah had? Could you say today that you have the determination that Rizpah had? I don't know. But it'd be good to have that if you could dedicate yourselves to God in order that your children may see the importance of Him in your life. Father, we thank you for this day.